Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SFB Online, Fedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a minute, Hannah, join us. I talk guests every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Are you going to participate on the web? Just go to the Talk Show website at www.talkshow.com and search for call ID 17702 or SFU on call or Starfleet Universe on call, and you will find us there. But if you want the best online experience, yes, you want to go to twitch.tv, yes, twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you'll find us there. You get to watch my lovely face, and you get to join the chat room, which I try to monitor as best I can. And of course, these days, you also get the football updates for Thursday Night Football. Thank you, Dave. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitter, you can follow the SFU on call podcasting account or my personal account, Paul France, PAULFRANZ. There's no T in that. Of course, also is my business account, which is France Games. FRANZGAMES. Again, there's no T in that. Don't ask. And of course, this lovely Talkcast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB. Gene is still proofreading the Orion Master Starship book. Yes, it's taking a while. And of course, just a reminder, as Steve Cole did remind us, which is, this is not the only job that Jean has. Therefore, some days she gets nothing done. Some days she gets lots done. So I'm not sure where it is, but it is being worked on as one of her projects that is set for her. And for those of you that are still waiting, missed out on the last sale that ADB had running during like Black Friday and I think I went through all through online Monday or whatever. It's Cyber Monday. That's it. Cyber Monday. It's wacky day. But anyway, and that is that ADB is doing again the sale for 10% off everything on the shopping cart that shows at StarfleetStore.com. The sale runs from Christmas Eve. That's the 24th of December. For those who don't remember that date, and all the way until New Year's Day, and that's January 1st, 2025. Yes, 2025 is closely approaching. Deal with it. And of course, this week, I found the online store is a continuation of the Starfleet Times series that I've been doing as of late, which is to tell you about this great newsletter that got put out during the interim when ADB could not publish anything, but Task Force Games was not publishing anything. But Task Force Games allowed ADB to actually put out a newsletter that actually you could physically get. It was really, really, really cool for the time. And there's certain ones I love. One of them was about the tournaments. The greatest one was that the tournaments had a chart of weapons, hull, all, you know, what movement cost. It was a really nice chart. I love the chart. If I find that Starfleet Times, I might just recreate that one with all of the current ships. But anyway, moving onward and forward, the Starfleet Times issues number 26 through 30, again, $7.95. Number 26, a variant of the OK-6, the last battle of the OK-6 scenario, and updated Jandarian Terminal Cruiser. That's when, before the Terminal Cruiser actually got blessed. Don't get me on that one. Okay, issue number 27 had fast cruiser for simulator races. Also, huge maze of asteroids scenario and map. Ooh, that sounds good. in issue number 28, we had a Captain Slug number 18 preview. Wow, that's been a while. And Andromeda with X-Tech. Cool. Scary Ship, the number 3, with a Rom Double Eagle. Larry Zindel Zinti combined war cruiser. That's a weird one. Of course, Android Tech ships. And a Satorian Pocket Dreadnought. I really got to look at those ships. Those look kind of cool. That sounds kind of cool. In issue number 29, the new Omega Sector Race, the Federal Republic of Aurora, the FRA, including all rules needed and 5 ship SSDs. And issue number 30, gotta love these, Battleship Carriers and the Stellar Domination Ships, 6 SSDs plus rules. So really nice. Some of those actually are quite interesting, and I think it's a good pack. Number 26 through 30. Just remember that. That's a good one to get. And of course, just moving onward to the SFB Online tournament. That is a Sapphire Stars 18 tournament. We have one more game done, so we still have 2 games completed. One of them, of course, is the one that I mentioned last week, which is Stephen McCann and his Wax versus Joan Harmberg in the Lyran, which I think is going to be an excellent game, and I can't wait. I got to see if they're actually got that scheduled or not, because I would love to watch that game. That was one of those games I would really love to watch, because I think it'd be an amazing one. Obviously, if I have a chance to watch it, and I do watch it, I will record it and possibly even write up a maybe I'll do a review here on during the podcast. And of course, moving on to the library report, there's nothing going on with SFB Library. There are ships that are currently in my inbox that I need to update, fix, etc., that are from Matt and Frank. So I will be doing that definitely this. I should have some time this weekend, a little bit of time, because I know I'm also going to be, of course, big surprise. It's Christmas, and we're going to a Christmas party. Or a gathering, at least, on Saturday. And that's, well, my day is gone doing that. But also the FedCom, no updates there. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, one of all Pump Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got Jeff. Say hi, Jeff.
Hi, everybody.
And we have Doug. Hey, Doug.
Hello. Good evening. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing good now. I'm trying to get Twitch so I can check to make sure what people are seeing, or they're seeing my beautiful face. Okay, that. Ay, ay, ay.
Oh. If I tried to run Twitch right now, my computer would not handle it.
Oh, well, understood.
Actually, the internet connection would not handle it well, because I've run it with Discord before, and it works okay. It's just the connection's choked up there.
Understood. Which I wish you could watch this part of it, but oh well. Hopefully, I can describe it in good enough detail. It's a good exercise for myself. Yes, Jeff.
Not to be too distracting, but I'm looking at the Twitch screen right now. Is that a laptop on the desk in the corner behind you, or yes, is that some kind of audio visualizer?
That's a laptop it's an Apple one with a touch bar, which is right now flaking, and I need to get it replaced.
Because it's just distracting me. It's like, ooh, Shandy, okay. What's that?
Okay, hold on.
Sorry, Paul.
It's the thing that's keeping the entire thing working properly. Don't make them touch it. Oh, wait. Too late.
Hey, turn it around. Wonderful solution.
Yes. I figured I can still do the flashy, flashy, blinky, blinky thing, but it's a lot harder to see.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. My ADHD will calm down now.
That's fun. I was hoping you could, most people could ignore, but no. Since you're most people in this case. In this case. Okay. Well, friends, neighbors, countrymen, let me your eyes. Again, just a reminder that this is going to, my topic for tonight is going to be my awful game against the Hydran in the Sapphire Star tournament. And I'm hoping I'll do my best to describe things to the podcast people that are not actually watching but listening. But obviously, this is one of those podcasts that you probably will want to boot up, start up YouTube, and watch it there so that you can actually see the game board. I will do my best. there's only so much I can do in describing the board and what's happening. So hopefully you'll understand and we will be good to go. So
can I make an educated guess?
Yes.
Does it involve us getting you a new icon for Discord that looks a lot like a bug hitting a windshield?
Probably.
Okay, I was just guessing. For those of you listening, that's called.
It's wonderful support.
Yes, thank you so much. For those of you watching the video, ignore that. That was my OBS doing the whole.
Oh, look, it's the OBS window till tomorrow.
Yes, exactly. The repeating mirror, which is kind of neat.
Or would that be an infinity stream?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, geez. I remember seeing that with like mirrors. You can do the same thing with mirrors, which is interesting.
The trick to doing it with mirrors is to shim the top or the bottom just a little bit more than the other side. Mm-hmm. So it gives just a little bit of an angle to it. And
right.
It goes on forever.
Right, right. Okay, well, okay, this is going to be my game. If the Hydran versus my Saltorian, the plan was one that I talked about many, many, many weeks ago at this point, which was to fly the ship as fast as possible and try to keep the range open as much as possible. That was the goal of this tournament game. It didn't work out too well. It's just a spoiler. But this is the show how not to do this. Obviously, I'm not sure whether it was the tactic itself that failed or it was just my use of the tactic itself. So we'll just have to wait and see. Okay. Right now, for you, those who are watching the video right now, it's just showing the setup for the game, and I started my first turn. Now, let me stop here just for a moment. Which is, I started the game with the particle cannons fully charged, as in 5 points of power, because I figured, okay, I can save power by starting by using a little more power at the beginning. I can still get good because I'm not sure. For those who can't see the screen, basically right down the bottom of the screen, it shows you how much power is used for the ship. And that is standard, activate shield, 2 points, one for fire control and one for life support. Now, and then there's
additional 4 points for housekeeping.
Right. That's 4 points of housekeeping. And then additional 10 points of power are used for the particle cannons. So that's 14 out of 40 points of power to start with. So I've got 26 points of power still to use. So if I do nothing else, which the plan was, don't charge the shuttle. Don't use any special shuttles because it's going to waste power. This is against a hydrant. And since it's a hydrant, any quote-unquote seeking weapons are the fighters. And so it's kind of pointless to do the Wild Weasels, especially he's got a 2d6 weapon. So the offset really doesn't help as much in my mind versus like a photon. So EW is kind of pointless. The idea is not to stop. That's another reason not to do that. So moving onward. And then for my speed plot. I started with 17 and then on impulse 18. Stop. Give me a sec here. Let me just back it up just to here. There. At impulse 18, it goes speed 24. So I slowly start into the middle of the board, and then I have a faster speed at the tail end, therefore give me a little more maneuvering for the tail end. Now,
an effective movement of 19 hexes?
23 hexes? 21. Adjusting the configuration here for those on the video, and including the chat room. For some reason, the chat room was not working. So I'm in the separate floating chat room, so I killed that. He started with speed 17 also, which is interesting. Actually, with 17, and I'm not going 17, I've got turn mode of D. He has turn mode of C, so I always have to move first. So now,
a slow hydrant at the start of a match is a bad sign.
Yeah. Now, he starts at the bottom, I'm starting at the top. We're both 17. Now, I remember how he starts, which is he's on the bottom. At the moment, the very beginning, he starts going, we're going straight. Go straight towards each other. Then, and I start to side slip towards him in the middle of the board. As soon as I start side slipping, he turned to the right. In other words,
he slipped in and he turned away.
He turned away towards the right-hand wall. Because I'm coming down, straight down from the top. If you're looking at the board right that way. So, obviously, he's going
to
keep the range.
Looks like he's setting up to do a wall slide and try to come in around behind you.
Yep, though, not quite. Because to me, if he was truly doing a wall slide, he would start the
he would have started with the turn, right?
Exactly. And I'm not sure exactly why he turned out. Now, at the same time, impulse 18, when I changed to 24, he changed to 20, or at least around the same time. And we're still coming closer. At this point, we're at impulse 18, range 20. I'm still coming in straight down and side slipping each opportunity to get towards him. Now, on impulse 18, he turns directly up. So he was going towards the right wall. Now he's going straight up.
So he turns back in.
Right.
And you guys are at an oblique angle. And it looks like he's setting up for an attack on your six.
Yep. And
you'd be on his six at that point too.
Exactly. And just keep doing this. And then he starts I'm slide stepping towards him. He's slide stepping away from me. So he's slide stepping towards the wall, as I'm slide stepping towards that right wall too, and towards him.
Interesting.
And as of impulse 24, we are at range 14. This is on impulse. Turn one. Okay, keep doing that now. Okay. We're at range 11 on impulse 26. Impulse 27, I move and I get to range 10. This is where I do a little thinking. Now, idea here.
You're just about to come out of FA too.
Right.
You're at the extreme edge of the FA arc after you move.
Right. So, unfortunately, I did not write down everything I did. But I'm pretty sure at this point, since I'm trying to keep it range open, I fire my three shield crackers at range 10 because they have a 50% shot of hitting, and also my four particle cannons in start and end mode. And yeah, I forgot about this. So I'm in the fire weapons, and then I realized, if I want to fire the whip breakers, shield crackers, I need to change my impulse to the shield segment, because that's when shield crackers fire. And I hit with one, because I rolled a 3, 5, 5. Yeah, this is when we
that always stinks.
Yeah. But hey, that's the breaks when you roll the dice. And he actually, had one point of shield reinforcement. Like, okay, fine. Then I fired the four particle cannons. I range 10. Yeah, we had a quick discussion about how shield crackers work when it comes to shields, and can you reinforce and so forth. Then Neon Pico came in and quoted the rule, which is E16.
So what do you do? Bounce three of the four?
He bounced one of the 4 points of damage from the shield cracker.
Okay.
Right, and Neon Pico was just mentioning to you what the rule is. Okay, now, and then I said, okay, go ahead and fire. Okay. Yeah, the whole idea is that if the shield cracker knocks down, okay, then, fortunate for me, the three particle cannons hit. So it's 2, 2, 5, 2. Weird rolls, but okay, it is. It is what it is.
Right.
So that means I got 3 points of damage for each one. So that means I got...
That's another 9.
Another 9. And he did no reinforcement then, so his shield number 6 is at 18 points. At that point, I turn direction F, turn away from him and run. That, as I said, the idea being to keep the range open. At the end of the turn, I'm still at range 10. I am now turn direction F, which is going towards the bottom corner, but I'm sidestepping towards the left wall.
And he's turned to follow and slide slipping to stay behind you.
Right. Exactly. He's currently turned to direction F. He's F. I'm E. Sorry. I apologize. I'm E. He's F. So he's going up, facing towards the upper left corner. And he's sideslipping in towards me. And then we go through EA again. for turn two. For that, I don't, when it comes to energy allocation, I just keep the 3 points of energy because I use 2 points of energy for the standard. So now I'm holding it for 1.5 each. So instead of costing me 10, it's costing me 6. So I got 4 more points of energy. I have not fired, I have not fired a single phaser. And the web breakers, when they were held, there's zero cost for holding.
But you fired your web breakers, so you'd have to either charge them back up again, right?
Yep. So for the turn, what I do is a flat 24 speed plot. So I'm using 24 points of energy. I've actually put 4 points of reinforcement to shield number 5 in case he hits me on my rear shield, so I can have a little bit of reinforcement there. We start the turn. I'm speed 24. He's speed 20 still. Just to let you know, I did not charge any of the shield crackers this time. I'm trying to keep my speed up, so I'm trying to not charge any weapons what I don't think are completely necessary. And I don't feel like spending six points of power to recharge all of the shield crackers is prudent. So I don't charge any of them.
Hey, you got to cut and run.
Okay.
Try not to give his hellbores a really good position to fire up from.
Yep. Then I decided to head down to the bottom of the board. I'm trying to keep the range open as much as possible. So that's why I turned down to direction D so that I can, if he follows me, I can get down to direction D. I can turn back to direction E and come around. The idea being to keep the range open as much as possible. So I figured staying in direction E, I'm just going to run out of room against the wall or against the corner. So I figured it's best if I turn back direction D. Hopefully he would follow me towards direction D and not just keep going like in direction F towards the corner, towards the upper corner.
Well, if he's going to close before he fires from that position, you've got a ways before you try to, before you can force him to either change his direction, fire, or do something else.
Yeah, right now he's okay. This is at impulse 5. He's down to range 9, so it's not an overloaded range quite yet. Okay, then we have to wait for a little bit of time. Boss was pinging him. So.
What?
His wife was calling.
Still here.
Yeah, I do think this is. I do think that turn to D was might have been a poor idea on your chance, on your choice.
So you think
you could have? You probably should have continued running from the far corner. And to keep the range open, but turning D, you allow him to come in, and it looks like he does finally make it to outside of overload range. And does he hurt you here?
No.
What?
Okay.
Really?
Really?
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that was. He's thinking about it. He calls for we're doing this election just for those of you who have not played SFB Online. There's two options when it comes to calling. One's call for fire. Don't get me started on pure impulse activity versus call for fire. We had quite a heated discussion about that at some point in the past. I still have an archive of said discussion. I've not read it for a long time, and I don't plan to. It's just one of those
That's pieces. Okay. Keep your blood pressure down, Paul.
Yes, exactly.
Back to the other thing about getting your butt beaten. Come on.
Right. So.
Yeah, back to the bloodbath.
So for this game, pure impulsivity, because he likes it. He prefers it, and I prefer it.
It's the way the game's intended to be played.
Right. Oh, I agree there. Jeff, you and I agree 100%. Don't worry.
Oh, good. Good. I don't have to beat anybody in the submission.
You're holding up
the breaking
of the bug.
Oh, trust me. At one point, I was...
Oh, right.
I was working on the perfect, the purest implementation of activity. And I didn't get around to it, which is...
Didn't you say you were skipping that part?
What?
I thought you said you were going to skip that part.
Yeah, I should because that was a long discussion. I actually was implementing like two or three different ways of doing the impulse activity. So I'll let it go like that. Instead of firing at this impulse, actually he was at great now at range 9 on at impulse 7 because he had the slide slip. I side slipped. He moved and I side slipped, so I got up to range 9. He launched his fighters. Now, one thing he does is that he actually tractors them and drags them along.
Okay. Both tractors.
Yeah.
And he's not doing 31, so he can get away with it. That's typical Ivan thing.
Yeah, he hasn't tractored yet. Right now, they're independent. So.
You're safe from being tractored yourself now. So you don't have to worry about getting anchored.
Correct. Impulse 10, I turn out to direction E because he actually turned to direction E himself. So he's basically doing what I wanted him to do, which is I wanted him to chase me. The idea being is that help keep that range open. And then turn to direction F and come around and trying to keep that range open as long as possible. That was what I was trying to do. Unfortunately, the problem is that I'm pretty sure that when I turn back to direction F, which happens later on, what he does is he turns to direction F, and at that point, if I keep going direction F, he goes F, I have to turn direction A at some point, and then close the range at that point. Yeah, there, okay. Ooh. On impulse of 11, he actually tractors his fighters to keep them with him.
Right.
Which is fine. It's all fine. And then he speeds up to speed 26. So it's like, okay, now he can do a little closing. That's when I go, okay, that's when I turn direction F, and he's still direction E. There it is. That's me. Sorry. He's still, besides slipping out, I'm not sure why, because at this point, he should be able to turn up. But this
just because he can doesn't mean he wants to.
Yeah. Impulse 20. And he's basically side slipping and staying. Well, it's hard not to stay behind me because he's off my shield number 4. I'm still heading, just for those of you not able to see the video, I'm still heading right towards the left-hand wall. I'm right now 7 hexes from the wall. So I'm slowly Heading that direction, the fighters are pointing direction F, while he is still facing direction E at this moment in time.
I hear the music starting. Da,
da, da, yeah, I know. Oh, go on. So I'm right now. Okay. He's direction E. This is Olympus 23. We're range 8. He still hasn't fired. We're moving on to Impulse 24. And
he launched the fighters on 11?
Yeah. 7.
So that means
Impulse 7.
On 7?
Yep.
Okay, so the fighters are able to fire at this point.
Yeah. There they could. Impulse 24, Steely Dan, which is the hydrogen ship, he turns the direction F, and now he's directly behind me, range 8. He's off shield number 4, directly aft, off with an offset of 2. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So if you go 6 hexes directly back from the ship, and then you go 2 hexes, you know, to this would be the right hand side.
Yeah, he's in a good following distance. He's not directly behind you, but he's where he's in one of those following positions where he's got more options than you've got in retaliation. It's not like finding yourself in the Klingon phaser hose.
Right. Exactly. Oh, hey, guest Dave. Broncos 21, Chargers 13. It's early third quarter. This is the kind of scores I'm expecting these days. But, okay. Sorry. Yeah, this actually at this point, I put down thinking. That's because I'm thinking about increasing my actually, I want to see what kind of speed increase, what that would do to keep the range open. Number one, two. I need to figure out target modifiers for the fighters because I want.
Okay. Sidebar. Yes. When you did EA, did you dump your batteries and set reserve power?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did that.
You zoom past that so right. Fast. I didn't see if you'd done that or not.
Yeah, I did do that for turn 2. I did not do that for turn 1.
I noticed you didn't do it on turn 1.
Yeah, I forgot.
I was trying to say, are you going to try to use battery power to mid-turn speed, unplanned mid-turn speed change?
Understood. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I realized, like, oops, I forgot to. But yeah, no harm. No harm, no foul. I didn't.
True.
I didn't
True.
Screw myself. Okay. So, I changed my speed to 29. I do a mid-turn speed change to 29. Idea is basically to keep the range open, have it so that I keep moving when he does not. Actually, what's beauty is later on. But okay, now here's the fun part. We're now on impulse 26 of turn 2. Range 7, activity decision box comes up. And I decided I'm going to fire my phasers at his fighter, one of his fighters. I want to kill one of his fighters.
Range 7? That's
right.
How many phasers can you chuck at him?
4.
Yeah.
Right
yeah,
side he, and
but it's
FA plus R.
It's worth the thing, because if he batters down a shield and hits you with the Hellbore, you're probably going to lose one, maybe two phasers.
Especially
you don't have, and the bug doesn't have any phaser three belts, so it's all phaser one.
And they're tractored. Cripple a fighter, poof, it disappears.
Yeah, there is that.
If you're lucky. On
there is that. Stage.
Now, the problem is the Hydran got antsy and went, oh, crap, my fighters, he might hurt them. Rotated and landed those suckers in on that impulse.
Aww.
Okay. All right. That smells of shenanigans.
Like, no, you're not.
Aww.
That's just too convenient. That's just way too convenient.
I want to kill him.
It was a lucky guess.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lucky guess.
Yep. So I went, okay, fine. Okay. Yeah. No, I go into the next impulse. I go straight. I'm now right. He's got me centerlined at range 7. And this is what I'm thinking about. Okay, I've got shield number 1, which is always a good shield to fire at, especially on the Hydran, because if you get the shield number 1 down, or at least reduced greatly, he's less likely to have that facing you, and his Hellbores are his biggest weapon. Okay, fine. I fire 4 phaser 4s at him at range 7. I roll a 1, a 3, a 1, and a 4 at range 7.
Okay.
And that gives me 13 points of damage against the shield number 1 with no reinforcement. So I knocked it down. So shield number 1 is now down to 17. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm knocking down those shields. Obviously, it would have been better if I could have.
Meanwhile, everybody on the Hydran ship is chuckling. Go on.
Understood.
We lost a chunk of our number 1 shield. Okay.
Yep. So, okay, at the end of the turn, we end up at range 7. He's, you know, off shield number 3 at this point. Yep. Shield number 3. And we're going to do the EA. We had no EA. Neither of us had end the turn. Big surprise, because there's no damage. No, other than shield damage, which he did not repair any from on shield number 6. Which I think is wise, because until you get down really low, there's no point to repairing those shields. Yeah, see it right here. Actually, even shield turn number 1, I also did a recharge right there. And, you know, total power available. So I used up the power, and I recharged it on turn 1, number 1, too.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay. There. Okay. Still holding everything. Oh, let you know, I did. I forgot about this. I recharged one of the shield wood breakers as on turn number 2, just one of them. And so turn number 3, I have a one that's being held for 0 energy. And I reinforced shield number 5, but that was kind of pointless. He didn't fire. So in theory, I could have. If I didn't reinforce anything, I could have recharged all my shield crackers. And of course,
opened up your range.
Right. Range is still range 7, which is not bad. The problem is I'm running into a predicament. And that is, I'm running for the corner. So sooner or later, I will be running out of room.
And he's inside the turn you'll have to make in order to make in order to clear the corner.
Yep.
He's in a good spot, and you're only delaying the inevitable.
Right.
Your option here is to go incredibly high speed and just cross your fingers.
Which is what I did. I started going speed 28. I used impulse for movement. That's kind of important. And then halfway through the turn, I moved down to speed 24. The total energy used for energy of her movement is 26.
Okay.
And now reinforce shield number 3 with 2 points of power. Submit that, and then, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm waiting for him. Okay, he's ready. He announces a speed of 30.
No.
Yeah.
I suspect he'll be going a lot slower later in the turn, but
yes.
You know, I was just thinking in my head before you said that. In that situation where we are right there with him already having a dinged number one, I would have thought long and hard about an impulse to hit an alpha strike. Plotted whatever speed I thought I could get away with, and just as soon as I was able to turn and make a head into him before he could maneuver much, and then just right down the bowling alley.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but
if he had already plotted for speed 30, that means he probably doesn't have overloaded hellbores available to him.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been interesting.
Agreed. But as I said, the tactic here was focus on keeping the range open.
Right.
So how did this go?
Okay, well, just for those who aren't watching the video, Kadenstipi says, before I announce my speed, he says, not zero, please. And I announce speed 28. Now, I'm not sure why he doesn't want to be speed zero. I figured he wants speed zero.
Probably because he was afraid you were doing what I was thinking.
I'll tell you why.
What?
He probably was concerned that you might go zero, hack a few times, rip his shield down, and then launch weasels, and then at some your leisure, Mitzia him.
Yeah, that is possible.
That might have been his concern.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't, so I started running up. I'm going speed 8.
And you also might have been concerned that you might have starcasting, you might have like reinforce the heck out of a shield.
Right, exactly. I can see that.
There's a few different reasons why he didn't want you to stop necessarily, but you know what? As a hydrant, I think you stopping is probably a good thing no matter what. Because, you know, you can kind of kill the weasels.
Right.
And, you know.
And wait. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so impulse 2. I'm still going up straight. He turns to direction A, so he's following me. So now we're running parallel courses. He is still range 7.
Are you on his number 1 still?
No, I'm off his shield number 6.
Okay.
Because I'm right off his oblique.
He's to the
left-hand side.
So you don't work on that number 1 for a bit.
So I'm going, I'm side slipping towards the wall. Now,
yeah.
I realized at this moment in time that was a bad thing. Yeah. For those of you who are not watching the video, or even if you're watching, but you probably didn't notice this, which is my mouse was on the side here. What I was doing was I was counting, okay, can I hit right now towards the wall? And then not don't go direction D, go to direction E, and then turn to direction D.
If you're gonna hit, why would you want to do that?
I think the reason was to open up the range as much as possible.
Right now, you're at what? A turn mode of what? 6?
Yeah.
And you still have room to make 2 turns in order to avoid hitting either wall in the corner. But if you turn around the other direction, you would have to hit the wall.
Right, right, exactly.
You're too close.
Right. That's why I said, but when the side slipped, then I could have done this.
Because
if I'm here, which is 1 hex far away from the wall, I can head the direction D, side slip, move, side slip, move, side slip, turn.
Right.
But I'm one hex too close to the wall to do that.
And when's your speed change kick in? And does that change your turn mode?
Yeah, 24. It goes from a turn mode of 6 to a turn mode of 5. And that kicks in.
It wouldn't come fast enough to help you.
Yep. Because it's in the middle of the turn.
Right.
So I went, okay, well, I can't do that. So I was thinking, and I did something which completely and utterly shocked him at this moment in time. And let me see. I'm pretty sure this is it. We'll find out pretty soon. Yep, there it is. And mark down that I used.
Did you hit right at number 1?
I headed directly back, facing D. Now we're at range 6. But right now we're both oblique. The only issue is that he can sidestep in and get range 5, which is what he wants. But
does he slide slip in and give you a chance to use your offside phasers on his ding 6, or does he move forward and deny you his number 6?
We'll see that. The one comment he said, he did not account for me going being able to do a speed 28 hit.
Yeah, because you used impulse.
Yep, that's why I used impulse.
Surprise. Okay.
He was thinking. And actually, he goes directly straight up. He does not side slip in. So he maintains a range 6, which to me was a shocker. I expected him to side slip.
Well, I don't know why it shocked you so much. If he's got this much power into a speed 30 run for this part of the turn, how much power does he have for heavy weapons?
True. True.
We'll find out in a minute.
Yes, we'll find out very, very, very soon. I decided, okay, I'm going to fire at his shield number 6, my wonderful and beautiful phasers, because we're out of FA arc for both of us.
So, right.
So I fired 2 phaser, 4 phaser ones. I get 2, 3, 5, 5. That's 8 points of damage. On shield number 6.
Okay.
So shield number 6 is down to 10. Now, he's thinking. This is where things start to get kind of ugly. Because right now, obviously, one thing he cannot. I know. Why do I even do that? I should just cancel. Sorry. Discord helper came up. At this point, he launches his fighters. So that they're going to be heading directly towards me.
Because you've blown some phasers.
Yep.
That bear, and he's not worried about his fighters dying right,
right.
now.
Right. Now he knew. Okay. And both.
And if you do turn to kill his fighters, then that's power you're not putting into his ship.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now.
Dilemmas, not problems.
Yep. Now. Mm-hmm. On impulse six, right after he launched his fighters, he did a mid-turn. He launched his fighters on five. On five. On impulse six, he did the mid-turn speed change to speed 26. This is bad.
Not for him.
Yeah, that's the point. Now, he does a head to direction E, facing me. Now we are okay. And then pulse eight, still range five. He's almost got me center line at range five.
Yeah.
Off my shield number five.
Done. You can't hardly do anything about it.
Nope, I can't do squat. And so he's still closing. He's now at range four because he moved on impulse nine and I didn't.
Dun, dun.
Impulse 10.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun. I move and he moves. I try side slip out, try to keep maintain the range as much as possible.
This is where the French horns kick in. Dun, da, da, dun, 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 dun. Oh, go on.
So he decides to side slip behind me.
Yeah.
So I'm still range four because I go, instead of side slipping, I go straight because he originally went straight and I side slipped out and he went, oh, wait. And then he said he was going to rethink the move. Okay, fine. No problem. I backed up. He backed up. And then he decided to side slip to his right, so he is range four, not center line.
Yeah, you're dancing to stay off the center line and managing to do it so far.
Yep. And actually, so it doesn't help.
Okay.
Paul, show us the worst.
Okay. He's now range four. Now, for those of you not watching the video, if you're watching the video, you'll see this. He fires
you in the corner. Oh.
Two Hellbores, standard, range four. Five Phaser ones, range four. And obviously, he's taking the second option on the Hellbores.
Right. That's yikes.
Here we go. Do. 22 points of damage from the phasers against a 24 box shield number five.
Yikes.
Okay.
Then it rolls two Hellbores. Both hit.
Yeah.
Not surprising at that range.
Yep. Again, another 22 points of damage. At range four. And this is not even overloaded.
He didn't overload them, so that's okay.
He didn't have the power to.
Right.
No, that's fine. I don't think he needed to.
Right. So then, of course, 22 first, he knocked down the shield. Next, time to do everything when it comes to amount of damage, which is three on all the boxes except for shield number five, which that took 15 points of damage. Which means, since I used all my reserve power for my wonderful and beautiful hat, the surprise of the game. He went, okay, fine, dead.
Yeah, you can't bounce any of that.
Okay, so one steel cracker gone. One phase three gone. And a couple hull and a transporter. So. Yeah, he said, hoping for 13 weapons. And
yeah, who doesn't?
Pico said, no, you want 13 power. Like, yeah.
On that ship? Yeah, 13 power would hurt you pretty bad.
Yes, it would. So we go on to the next impulse. And that we, and actually, I move and he does not. And the next impulse, he, again. Oh, this is the one. Oh, okay. He moves, now he's facing direction D. He's still off shield number four. So I'm
right.
I don't have to worry about anything else at the moment. Except for one problem. For those of you who have not been keeping an eye out on these things, of course, I'm sorry for those on the podcast. Yes, exactly. Those in the video can see it. Those who are not on the video cannot see it. That is.
And they're these, what, range five?
One, two, three, four, five. Got two beautiful fighters off a down shield at range five with, that means four fusion beams. At range five.
Does he miss the other? Does he parcel them out or does he hit you all at once?
I forget. We're about to find out. I just remember he kept on just hitting me with more damage and more damage and more damage.
That sounds like Mitsuya.
Yep. This is one fighter. Which he fires two fusions and full pulse phaser G.
So the fusions and both fusions.
And the fusions rolls a five and a one.
Ouch.
The G 1446. Obviously that's only one more additional point of power, a point of damage. So total damage, and this is where I had to look up the free is, was it 5 points of damage from the fusions? Yeah. Total 6 points of damage at range five from one fighter. So, time to take six more internals. Now the phaser three gone. Now phaser one is now gone. Ready. Go on to the next impulse. I move straight. I'm pretty sure. Did I move straight? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I moved straight. And then the Hydran decides, oh, I'm moving down to speed 13 now.
Yeah, you had to come up with the power for something.
Yeah.
Some way.
And then what happens? Fighter number two. Another alpha. He's still off shield number five. Fusions, yeah. This time only do fire. He rolls a four and a three, so they're not nearly as bad. But he rolls 1255 for the phaser G, so that's 2 points of damage there. So I think it is, yeah, total of 5 points of damage. Think another phaser, one dead, another phaser, one dead. So at this moment in time, I've got three phaser ones are dead, one shield cracker dead, and two phaser threes dead.
Yikes.
Then that's not the end of it. Because remember, we're still early in the game, in the turn. We're turn impulse 15. Yeah. Now, this is where I do. I agree. I do something stupid. Okay, right now, I'm moving speed. So direction D. So he's still off shield number four. I move down the speed 24. And he said, yeah, wow, fast all turn. Yeah. Then he moves, changes to direction C. And I slip out, trying to make sure maintain it on shield number three. Then he lands his fighters. So they're all safe, tucked away in their little fighter bay. And I keep going straight down. He's still 13. He's sideslipping towards me. So he has a range six. He's almost directly off number four shield, but off by one.
Right.
And we keep rolling. I'm speed 24. Okay, I keep going. Okay, run. Now, I sideslip out. So now he's directly behind me. The next impulse, I go straight. And again, he's speed seven, again, off the shield by one. Now, this is where I do something stupid. This is truly stupid. Impulse 24, I turn to direction C.
Oh, dear God, you gave him the open shield.
Yes, I did.
At range seven.
Yeah.
At range seven, you gave him an open shield on the side of his ship where he still has weapons.
Yeah. And what kind of weapons are they? There are fusions.
Oh, fusions. Oh, okay. Well, he's only got, what, four of those things, right?
Well, yep. He rolled a three and a one. So we got six more points of internals against my lovely ship. This time, he knocks out a particle cannon, another phaser. So now I got four phaser ones are now gone. I got the two phaser threes are gone. I got one particle cannon gone. And, of course, my shield cracker gone.
Wow.
Now, don't remember.
I'm seeing a lot of red there.
Yeah, remember.
Oh, bleeding out.
My dear folks, he still has weapons.
Yeah.
Wow.
He just turned to face
D. Turned in on the center line. Oh, God.
And what did he do? Fires two more fusions.
He just mitzied you to death.
Roll a four and a five. 2 points of damage.
Still.
Bing. Another shield cracker gone. An APR.
Hey.
Wow.
And I'm running. And he's thinking, what does he do? Phaser G! And he rolls 2 ones.
As well at that range.
At range eight, he rolls 2 ones. So he gets 2 points of damage.
Gave him the open shield and no reinforcement.
And no way to mitigate it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he knocked out two more of my power.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. I said that was stupid. That was moronic. I'm not sure. I probably should have just kept on going.
Yeah. Okay. You don't ever want to show an empty. You don't ever want to show a down shield to an enemy outside of around 16, 18 inches, 18 hexes range, unless they got disruptors, and then out to 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
can help it.
Yeah, at this moment in time, basically the game is over. I've not conceded. Okay, let me do one. Let me go just a little further to EA. But I just want to do one thing, which is at this point, okay, you can see here on if you're watching, I've got four phaser ones gone. That's that. two phaser three. So half my phasers are gone.
Wow.
One particle cannon, gone. Two shield crackers, gone. Got all my aft hull is gone. I've got four warp is gone. Two APRs.
You've lost a bit of power.
So how many internals has he taken at this point?
Zero.
Yeah, just shield damage on him.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, it was a rhetorical question.
Yeah. At this point in time, I've got a total of 34 points of power from my original 40, which actually, overall, that's not bad.
I got to go downstairs for a second.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Sorry.
That's fine. So, at that moment in time, I'm not willing to give up. But looking at it,
it's not looking good.
I'm
looking good.
Yeah, I'm toast. I think I get one more semi battle pass, kind of. Because the problem is at this moment in time, I've got. Let me think. I still have three particle cannons, which I can fire at him, but. I really have to work hard because his shields that are damaged, one's the shield number one, the other one's shield number six. Shield number six is on the other side of his ship, from my ship.
Right.
So the only way I can do that is I have to cross in front of him with my down shield.
Yeah.
I can.
And you don't have the room on the map to turn around the other way.
Yep. And I'm going to end it here because for the most part the game's over at this point.
Go ahead and fast forward to the good spot. What happened? How much more action is there from this point?
At this point, basically, in turn four, he turns up towards the top of the, and then I come around. And actually, let me see if I can go back here. Yeah, right. I turn to direction B. And then he was thinking when I turned to direction B, because here's the thing, the direction B, my down shield number. He calls me a temptress because I show him my shield number five directly at him at range 11. It's like,
of course, it's been working for you so good so far. Why not?
But here's the thing. He never fires. Okay.
What's he have left?
Well, if he's charging his...
A couple of ones?
He's going speed 12. So he's probably... charging his phasers. I'm not sure he's doing anything with his fusions. Probably charging his hellbores.
He can't fire the hellbores this turn because he fired.
Right, right. But they won't hurt anything this turn. They're gonna hurt me next turn.
Oh yeah.
With a down shield.
Range 9. I'm off his shield number 2 at the moment. No, actually, this is shield number 3, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at this moment, it's shield number 3. So we end. What was he thinking? Wow. At the end of turn 4, he actually turns directly at me. So I'm coming direction A. We're at range 6. He's turned to direction C, so he is closing in on me. So, at the very least, turn number 5 is going to be an ugly turn.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've got a shot at catching his number 1 if you're quick.
Okay. Let's back up just a moment. Now,
not that quick.
Yeah. Impulse. Okay. What impulse is this? Something happened. And something. Oh, this. Oh. What?
Dun, dun, dun. What was that?
Yeah, I got back up. Okay, actually, end of the turn. That's by the end of the turn, I'm actually. I'm sorry. In the turn four, I'm actually. Hi. He's off my shield number two. And we're kind of heading towards each other, almost off each other's oblique.
Right.
And then he's thinking at this moment in time. Because we're range five. Hi, Mad Jack. Okay, he moved. So now we're range four. At the end of turn four.
Okay.
Setting up for a Impulse One Alpha Strike?
Yeah, basically. Because
might as well.
I fire three overloaded particle cannons. Actually, I first fire one shield cracker at him, which I think I missed.
Right. Yeah, the shield cracker missed. I saw that before you backed it up.
Yeah, it missed that's the roll of six.
On this one.
Yep, and a particle cannon. And I got two phasers that I can fire because that's all I have when it comes to the phaser capacitor. He also fires five phaser ones at me for 18 points of damage. We're on shield number two.
Yeah.
So it's pretty worn. I fire my PCs, and what happens?
Let me guess. They all miss.
No, I get two hits for additional 12 points of damage. Against shield number two.
Which is Cherry.
Yep. And then the two phaser ones, so a total of 20 points of damage.
And then was that shield damage prior?
No.
The two short of the 3 points he took a splash off of Hellbore's, his shield number two was almost Cherry too.
So it basically, he's taking
hadn't otherwise
been
hit.
So far. Yep. And
okay.
I forget if I charge anything. I think I just reinforce. Come on, what are you doing? As I said, I didn't write any of this down. So, yeah. Okay. Right. Come on. I put 10 points of power into shield reinforcement for shield number two. I put 2 points into my phaser bank. I don't charge my
right.
My particle cannons at all. I'm going speed 24 still. He's going speed zero.
Big surprise.
Big surprise.
I see two fully overloaded Hellbores in your future, along with probably four fully overloaded fusion beams.
Yeah, I fired two phasers at him for 9 points of damage, which hit no reinforcement. And he fired one Hellbore at me. One overloaded hellbore, range 4. Hits with 22 points of damage. And where does it go? Da-da-da-da. Shield number 5.
Half down the shield 5. That's it.
And that's 11 points of internals right there.
Yeah, I have a feeling this part's not going well at this part.
Yeah.
So, at this point, I should say.
Yep. At that point, he blows away another particle cannon. He kills. I don't have any phasers that are facing. But I killed a particle cannon. Actually, no, he killed one of my phaser threes, which I repaired. Because phaser threes are cheap to repair.
Yeah.
And this, I forget what he does. Yeah, he attacks here. I forget what he does. Fires in a hellbore. For another 11 internals.
Yikes.
Bink. And I think this is where he got my other phaser 3 that was repaired earlier. And so I'm down to now 4 phaser 1s, 2 phaser 3s, and 2 particle cannons. And at this point, I conceded because I lost more.
Yeah, you don't have enough fight left.
Yep, I lost 3 points of power on that internal set of internals. I lost 3 of my batteries. You know,
he probably still had fusion beams to string out over the next couple of impulses before you could get the number two away from him.
Yeah, well, the number two was still up.
Right. But it was taking the splash damage off the hellbores, and it had taken a pretty hard wallop from his fusions or from his phasers, right?
Yep. So it's just, as you can see, the game was over.
Yeah. So basically, the ship that was most vulnerable to the Mitzia in the game managed to take your ship and Mitzia the heck out of it.
That is correct.
That sounds about right. Sounds about like your luck, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, one of these times when you do these, you need to walk us through when you win one.
I have done that.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wasn't around then. Sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. I've actually have won some games, and actually one of them, to be honest about it, I won, but I'm a Pyrrhic victory in that I really didn't, the person conceded, but I really didn't feel like they should have conceded at that moment in time. But okay, you can see I'll take it. You know, I'll take the win. You know, I hit him pretty hard in the Andromedan, and I think I even got a shield down. At that point, he conceded. Yeah, my knockdown.
Yeah, probably we're gonna dance around that shield all day.
Yeah, so he can.
What was he running?
A Gorn.
Yeah. Yeah, you could outmaneuver the heck out of that ship. So, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
Yes, but you know, I've won a few. I forget when I've done the reviews on those, because the only reason I wonder, because in some cases, I don't really want to show how I'm winning to the opponents. My next opponent, you can actually watch the video and go, oh, let's see how this all worked out. You know, when you lose.
I can kind of see that. It's easier to share your process when it didn't work.
Right. Exactly. And as you can see, I did some really dumb moves. The fighters, I couldn't avoid the fighters. That was unavoidable. But when I turned and allowed him to get some more internals from the Hydran itself, from the Hydran ship, that was a dumb move.
Well, here, here's a question of you. When you did that, if what was your other option? Would the other option have allowed him to get closer to you?
No, it been,
He
I
had
just
about about 8 or 10 X's before he was too close to the southern wall. He could have kept going straight, slipped out towards the center of the board, and kept the range open, which would have mitigated the hit chances for the fusions.
Yep. Exactly.
Because range fusions at range 7 or 8 are they're not photon bad, but almost.
On, goofball. Hey, hi guys. Hi guys.
Man, can then wars continue?
Yeah.
Oh, kitty cats.
Yep. Zooks is being a pain. But
Yeah,
I
your feline overlord's making the hit and run raid.
Yep. Okay. Well, that guys, I gotta get to bed. Actually, it's later than I really wanted to. Because I gotta wake up
Can
in 5 hours.
I plug
That
gamers?
stinks.
Yep. That's why I'm just gonna post this podcast tonight and not worry about anything else. The YouTube video
Lucky
is going
you.
to go up probably tomorrow or the day after, one of those two.
By the way, Paul, I just wanted to remind you that Gamers of Winter is coming up.
Yes, it is.
It's about a month and a half away, month, 3 weeks.
Yep. And I sent you the list.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yay!
Check Facebook. You'll see it there.
Okay, I'll check that after this then. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, as soon as you send me, I think, okay, scroll, okay, personal chat, okay, scroll, back March. Oh, there it is.
Yeah,
Looking for
I was
my
going through
previous
some
list.
old images.
So I wanted
I was going through some old images yesterday,
to.
and I came across images of the minis that were used when we had some SFB up at Grantville when it was there.
Yep.
So.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to bring my miniatures. Well, at least the tournament miniatures, because the whole idea is, since I'm doing call to arms, I need to be using miniatures, which is going to be interesting because I need to. I've never used miniatures and non-hex based before, so it should be interesting. So, anyhow, Jeff, it's been a wonderful to have you around and be able to completely and utterly. Go, you were stupid. And I deserved it. I come.
Sorry,
Hey,
I didn't
that's
mean it
fine.
hatefully.
No, I know. But I pointing out the obvious. As I said myself, I said out loud, which was, I did some really dumb things. That was the big dumb thing, which was turning to direction C and exposing my shield, my down shield to the Hydran. Ship to
Right.
do some more damage, do some more internals. Did at least another 10 internals. I think a little more than 10 internals because he hit
Right.
with like 3 points of damage from the phaser G's, and then did like, I forget how much from the fusions, but I know it's somewhere around 10.
It
But
was enough.
that was enough. That was enough. Exactly. That was, I'm not sure what, after I was in that position, I'm not sure what to do. That's one thing I really,
Right.
I don't, I, that's one thing I guess is definitely hard for me, which is I don't, when it comes to help hydrants, I'm usually facing them in the Andromedan. That's different. That's easy to do. 50% in the front, 50% in the back. Okay, we got it. We're all good. With shields, they go down, and that after the shield goes down, because the problem is you have to stop a shield from going down with a hydrant, because otherwise what happens is they keep on finding the hellbores and they keep on hitting that down shield.
Right. You know? Yeah, and they'll just keep dinging it.
And you can reinforce it. You can repair a little bit of it and then do some reinforcement, but you're still going to get internal through that shield every single time.
Yeah, last time I was in Sapphire, two or three Sapphires ago, I was in the Zinti, and it basically inspired me to a desperation move, which was to turn away, drop my number four, and try hit and run.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. No, the audio detected. Persistent may have microphone problems. I don't think it's microphone problems. I think we just lost Jeff.
Oh.
Is Jeff still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Hello. Yeah. I got a phone call. Sorry. And when you're on the phone to talk show, when you get a phone call, anyway, what I was saying was, is that the Win Oxbox was had a down shield towards me. So I said, you know what? I'm done anyway. He's used up all my drones. I don't have a whole lot left. So I turned and showed my tail to him, dropped my number four, and tried hit and run raids, and it didn't work. But it was like, at that point, the desperation was there, because even though it was just crazy, that game.
Understood.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Okay, happy Merry holidays. Christmas.
Oh, yeah, Merry Christmas.
Since that's coming up between now and the next podcast.
Yes, it is, including... Hanukkah starts on December 25th, which is crazy. For our Jewish...
Even a busted clock's right twice a day.
Yep. Well, to me, the problem with Hanukkah is that sometimes it's really early, like the week after Thanksgiving. Sometimes it's like late December. So, it's crazy. Fortunately, for us... Non-Jewish, us Gentiles. Christmas is a set time, unlike for Easter. Easter has the same craziness of Hanukkah has for our Jewish brethren.
Right,
but at least it's in the same month. It's in the same month every year.
No,
isn't it?
No. Sometimes it's March, sometimes it's April.
Oh, okay. I don't really like track that.
I know, you don't keep track of it. I do it, I'm sure, Monica.
That's when all the funny stuff shows up in the apartment.
Well, guys, before you get going into the depths of religious holidays based on Gregorian and or lunar calendars, I probably ought to call it a night.
Yeah, I definitely want to call it a night. So, Jeff, safe travels. Happy Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Okay. Bye. Doug, always a pleasure to have you around. I hope you enjoyed my foibles as much as probably many other people did.
Yay, foibles.
Well, if I don't talk to you before then, you have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, feel free to give me a ring this weekend. I'll probably be around for the most part.
Understood.
Plus, my phone will be with me wherever I go.
Understood.
Following me like a little lamb.
Bah. Okay. Yeah, have a good night.
Yep. Night, Paul.
So, I hope y'all enjoyed seeing the disaster of the game that I played. Obviously, the tactic did not work out, and not 100% sure if the tactic can work out against a Hydran. As I pointed out, I've not played against the Hydran that much, especially when it comes to shield, ships with shields, and how to handle that. Well, not even the Hydran, not the Hellbores. I rarely fight against a ship with a Hellbore, It's and actually have a ship with shields in it. Usually I'm in the Andromedan, and I know how to deal with Hydrans in an Andromedan. That's that's relatively easy. Now, not relatively easy. It's I know how to handle them. It's not that I might not win, but at least I know how to handle the Hellbores. Lord knows, the current incarnation, it does not do well against the Hydran, just because of getting rid of that energy. It's a tough time. But anyhow, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.